Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've already been hanging around with us today, thank you for that too. As we wrap up another year, 2005 is almost gone. I mean, it's just about out of here. And I have to say, for the most part, with probably very few exceptions, if you haven't gotten it done by now, you're probably not going to get it done in 05. It's probably going to be 06 stuff. I remember being out there trying to close deals at the end of the year, and I remember running around on the very last day of business trying to get things installed or collected or whatever. It's a harrying time, and so I know how that is, but pretty much it's pretty much over 05, and I think Don Cooper will agree with me on that. Don's one of the world's top experts on salesmanship and networking. He is the co-author, along with Beverly Williams, of The 30-Second Commute, and he's our good friend. He's also America's networking guru. Don, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Would you agree with me that if you haven't gotten it done by now, it's probably just about over?
I went down to the police station because I had to file a missing year report.
That's a new one on me. That's pretty good.
Somebody stole my year, I'm pretty sure.
Where did it go, Don?
I don't know. That's what I can't figure out. It seems like it was, January, a couple months ago.
I blinked. This is my ninth New Year's Day. No, obviously not New Year's Day, but this is my ninth New Year's show.
Wow, it's amazing.
Talk about blinking.
Yeah.
And you've been with me for several of those years.
Most of them, yeah.
And so it just races by. But you don't have any kids, but when you have kids, that's when it really takes your breath away.
I imagine so.
When you have, and then you have grandkids that are, and I blink my eyes, and my kids were where my grandkids are now.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying, where did the year go? And I'm saying, where did the last 30 years go?
Yeah, just scary.
Or 25 years or whatever. Of course, I adopted both of my kids when I was six. I'm not really
that
old.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's talk about what we can do to get ready to make sure that when we launch 06, that we've got our head on straight and that we're thinking the right way with regard to penetrating the marketplace.
Yeah.
What's your best advice?
Well, I think one of the most important things is positioning your product or your service as a premium product. If you're going to survive, it is extremely hard to survive at the low end of the price scale.
As a small business owner?
Yeah.
Because Walmart can get away with it. We can't.
Yeah. And you have to look at, people cite Walmart all the time as the success of cheap discounting. And my response is always, Walmart doesn't succeed because of its price.
That's
right. If
you
compare their prices, they're not bad, but they're not always lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart succeeds for a number of reasons. Number one, they're big. They've got a massive selection. You walk into
Americans
Walmart.
Americans like big things, don't they?
Well, it's convenient. You can walk into a Walmart.
It's not that
anywhere
darn convenient.
Country.
It's not that convenient.
Well, you can walk into a Walmart and buy almost anything you need.
Once you get inside, it can
exactly.
be. You're right. From a one-stop shop standpoint, I wrote an article one time called Waking Up in Wall World.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that one, Don.
Yeah.
But basically where the guy, had a dream, a nightmare, basically, and he woke up and, the whole world was basically, it became Wall World.
Right.
And, and it's almost like that now, isn't it?
It's getting there. And because Walmart is successful for a number of reasons. What that means is you can't succeed at doing the same thing they do. You get to do different.
Well, see, I think small businesses should try to be the anti-Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
Because for every person who likes Walmart, there's a person who can't stand going in Walmart.
Right, and there are things Walmart can't offer, they can't do. And whatever your business, whatever your product or service is, you can, and I think you should, position yourself as the non low price option. Because if you look at who's really profitable, do you know who the number one retailer is in terms of profitability per square foot?
Mm-mm.
Nordstrom.
Really?
Yeah, the exact opposite of Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can charge more because they offer more to their customers.
And they're not delusional about who their prospects are.
No.
They know that the people who most of the people who go to Walmart are not going to be Nordstrom's prospects.
Right.
And they don't, and so they don't try to go there, do they?
And that's okay. You've got to understand that you will never have the entire market, no matter what you do, no matter who you are.
Well, you don't want the entire. Well, I mean, what would happen, Don, in mine and your little small business, our tiny little businesses? What would happen if everybody lined up and wanted to come in?
Yeah, couldn't handle it.
We'd be killed. We'll all be killed. Stand by, Don. Quick break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Tony Williams with the Platters to take us out.
Something here inside cannot be denied.
It's getting near dawn.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Don Cooper's here, too. He's one of the world's networking experts. He is America's networking guru, and he helps organizations and individuals put their best foot forward in the marketplace, especially through sales training, teaching them how to close, teaching them how to prospect, and all over the country, right, Don?
Yep.
And what have you learned, Don, in traveling around talking to these organizations and these companies, these conferences that you've spoken to and the people you've helped? What would you say that you've, what's the most important thing you've learned from them that needs to be done?
I think one of the things that gets reinforced over and over again is how unimportant price really is in prospects' buying decisions. It's one of the biggest fears we have as salespeople, that our price is too high.
That's the disconnect, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We tend to.
The reality is it's not important, but the myth is that we think it is.
Yeah, I mean, it is important, but it's not as important as we think it is.
And it can be overcome, though, can it?
It can, absolutely. You simply have to show your prospect why what you're selling is worth what you're charging.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to offer more for them to pay more. I recently bought a new car. I looked at five different models, and the one I bought was the most expensive by far. But it was the car I liked most. It was it had the most horsepower. It had the best combination of fun and practicality.
Mm-hmm.
Had the nicest interior. Had the best warranty. It had the most usable.
But it also had that. It had that babe magnet factor too. That was what you went for, wasn't it, Don?
Well, absolutely. It had a lot of things, and it was worth more than the other cars. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody has to do with their product or their service.
Figure out
why their product's worth what they're charging for it.
Did the salesperson find out enough about you to talk about that, those kinds of things, rather than things that were features? Do you think was that person able to get you to the things that benefited you?
Yes, this one was. I find most don't. Most salespeople are taught the way you sell a product is to just talk about the features and benefits.
Right.
And that is so far off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all you do is
that's
product
so 20th
pitch,
century, isn't it?
It is. It's terrible. If you go and you shop for something and all you get is a bunch of pitches, you're going to up to yourself to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
What a salesperson wants to do, a good salesperson, is to learn about the prospect, figure out what they want, what they need, because value is subjective. It's one of the things people forget about. Value is not determined by the seller. Value is determined by the buyer.
So you know, if I were selling cars, I would say to a person when they looked at a car, I would say, let me ask you a question. When you imagine yourself in this car, what do you think about? How do you imagine yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a good question.
And don't you think that would be, isn't that how, because I mean, today, look at all the different. You said you looked at five options, mm-hmm. five different manufacturers. Look at all the options we have, and they're not that much difference in any of these cars these days, really, is there?
There's some.
I mean, yeah,
right.
But I mean,
fairly minor.
Yeah, but there are 25 cars you can buy out there that look a lot alike, that cost within $2,000 of each other, and perform about the same way.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not trying to compare a BMW 735 with a Civic, but I'm just saying in each level, they're about the same. Those cars are about the same. And so it's not about the transportation, is it? Because you can get where you want to go.
Exactly.
It's about how you feel about yourself in that automobile.
And if you think it's bad with cars, it's even worse with boats.
Yeah.
I've been doing some work in the marine industry for boat manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And as part of some of my research for a recent program, I went and mystery shopped at boat shows all over the country. And it's amazing. If you shop for fishing boats, it's unbelievable. Every single fishing boat salesperson you talk with at a boat show will use the exact same words, phrases, and sentences to describe their fishing boat.
And how many of them are connected to what the customer wants?
None.
Yeah.
Almost nobody ever has anything.
Let me stick something in here, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening who are not in that industry, don't say, well, those poor people, because you may be doing the same thing.
I've seen it in all kinds of industries.
Yeah.
In fact, it was amazing. One salesperson that I was talking to was launching their product pitch, and throughout his presentation said to me several times things like, I don't know what you, and I don't know if you, and I don't know how you. And I'm thinking, then ask me! Don't stand there in a fog of ignorance, you moron!
How do you really feel about this, Don?
Just crazy.
Yeah.
In all of my mystery shopping, only one person did even a decent job of asking me questions.
Right.
And he wasn't a salesperson. He was a manufacturer's rep for a boat company.
Hmm.
All the salespeople did was simply launch into a product pitch. But what was astounding was they all sounded the same.
It's all, and the problem is training, isn't it?
That's a big
first
problem.
There has to be awareness
yeah.
that we have a deficiency, and then you got to do the training.
Yeah, because here's what happened: if the prospect is going from store to store or from booth to booth or whatever, and they hear the same things
right.
of all these different products, all these products become the same.
You got to differentiate yourself. You got to come up with a differentiation, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's stressed with my clients is you've got to figure out what makes your stuff different, what makes your stuff better.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get you to help us do that, Don. Give us the website before we go to the break.
DonCooper.com.
Don Cooper, like Gary, except it's DonCooper.com. I'm Jim Blassingame. Ten Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's Robert Cray to take us out.
Whether the right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, we are flying high.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Cooper is our guest, and he's been a member of our Brain Trust. Now, Don, you may not realize this, for over 7 years. Do you know that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Now I feel old.
But it's been a dream come true for you, though, hasn't it, Don, being part of our Brain Trust?
I've laughed, I've cried, it became part of me.
That's right. Don, okay, we're talking about how to make sure that we get our organization squared away, that we make sure that we're focusing on the right things when we talk to our customers, that we're not focusing on just our stuff, we're focusing on what they've got on their mind, what they're thinking about, how they're feeling about what they're about to buy from us or hopefully buy from us. What's your best advice on that?
To ask questions, to make a list of questions that get to the user's ideas. Whenever I work with a client, when I work with a company and their sales team, I create custom questions for them that relate to how their prospect is going to use that product or service, because that can give us insight into what they're going to do. For example, with boat salespeople, I create a whole list of questions that were designed to find information about how people are going to use their boats. Like, what do you want to do with your boat? Because what they want to do with it impacts what kind of boat they need.
Mm-hmm.
How will you store your boat? It makes a difference whether they're going to put their boat in a marina or in their backyard or their garage.
If they're going to need a trailer or not.
Exactly. Do you want to be able to spend the night on your boat? If the answer is yes, then it impacts what they're going to need. A lot of questions like that that get to their usage.
What kind of cruises are you going to take? If they're day cruises, you're going to need a head on the boat, whatever.
Precisely.
Yeah, and then when they come back and say, well, this is too much, you know, this is more than I wanted to spend, you can say, well, you know,
you
gave me
you
these
wanted.
Specifications. Exactly.
Precisely. And people are willing to pay more money if they're going to get more. That's the key. If they're going to get more of use to them.
Isn't it surprising, though, it's totally shocking sometimes to find that people have to be reminded that the price that they're paying is based on the specifications that they gave you.
Yeah.
And they have to be reminded. Once they are, it's okay.
Right. But that's one of the mistakes that a lot of salespeople make is that they don't do that. And so when they quote the price, all they're doing is offering up a price, and there's no context for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no relationship between that price and what the prospect is going to get out of using the product or service.
I have a friend who's in the jewelry business,
mm-hmm.
and he sells a lot of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
But he said what he really says he sells is wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And how can you put a price on wow?
That's right.
And that's how you saw wow.
Of course, I haven't asked him if the wow is the man seeing the price of the diamond or the woman getting the diamond. I haven't figured out which one is saying wow. But
the woman says wow.
I'll have to ask him about that. I think the trick is to get the first wow to the second wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.